Vladimir Putin in Russia is at it again, in Ukraine, also in Iran and China, as we're going to hear in just a couple of minutes. Back in Ukraine, hundreds of Russian-made vehicles and thousands of Russian troops have crossed the border in the past few days, according to eyewitnesses, putting Ukraine and the West on high alert for a possible new offensive.
We see forces that are capable of being nuclear that are being moved to Crimea. Whether they are or not, we do not know, but they do have the kind of equipment there that could support that mission.
That's General Philip Breedlove, NATO's Supreme Allied Commander, briefing reporters in Naples, Italy. In response, the UN Security Council convened its 26th emergency session to discuss the situation in Ukraine. Here's U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Samantha Power, speaking at that emergency session.
Russia has negotiated a peace plan and then systematically undermined it at every step. It talks of peace, but it keeps fueling war.
Well, as we have to keep asking ourselves every couple weeks, it seems, just what is Vladimir Putin up to? Kimberly Martin, professor of political science at Barnard College at Columbia University, and our friend and Putin expert. Welcome.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be back.
And it's great to have you. Look, there was an election in Ukraine just a few weeks ago. Pro-separatist politicians and pro-Russian politicians got a trouncing. And a lot of people think that that's what is helping to fuel the latest incursions so that Vladimir Putin can tighten his grip on Ukraine.
Well, you know, Putin has really lost big time in two ways. First of all, he did push the Ukrainian population into Europe just with a definitive level of support that wasn't there before. And secondly, it's pretty clear that the sanctions aren't going away and they are having a big impact on the Russian economy. And so basically at this point, Putin has nothing left to lose. And so he might as well go for broke because he's got these two big blights on his record that aren't going away.
Now, what about Crimea? We heard the cut from General Breedlove about a sort of a separate issue of Russian troops moving into Crimea. One of the problems with Crimea, which has already been annexed by Russia, is that there's no physical connection between the land of Crimea and the mainland of Russia.
Yes, and there are have been rumors for months, and we might be seeing these rumors come to pass as fact right now, that maybe Russia would try to move some troops and military forces along that southeastern coast of Ukraine to try to connect the rebel strongholds in Donetsk with a land bridge over to Crimea. And you'll remember that at the end of last summer, there was concern that there was fighting in Mariupol, which is the major city along that southeastern seacoast. And we haven't seen the Russian troops doing anything in that area yet, or the rebels doing anything in that area yet. But I think that's the long-term concern about what might happen.
That's strategically pretty easy to understand, Kimberly Martin, the need for a land connection, which would have to punch through Ukraine in this case to allow Vladimir Putin to supply Crimea. In eastern Ukraine, the rest of eastern Ukraine, it's a little more confusing to me. After a couple of elections, you say Vladimir Putin has nothing left to lose. What's his end game by reinvading and not only rearming Ukrainian pro-Russian separatists, but now reports of Russian troops in making incursions into eastern Ukraine?
Well, you know, everybody keeps on asking what Putin's endgame is, and I don't think that we should assume that he necessarily has one. He's a tactical thinker rather than a strategic thinker, and that means that he will push wherever he can to get whatever he can. He is somebody who's got a KGB background of enjoying deceiving people, and so that means that he likes being unpredictable. And also, the decisions that are made in Russia are made by a very small group of advisors who aren't necessarily even government officials, and that means from the outside, it's always really hard to predict what Putin is going to do next. So I think we've got a couple of different possibilities. Maybe all he's doing is trying to strengthen the hold of the rebel forces that are located in Donetsk and in Lugansk with the idea that somehow he wants to make sure that there's no power coming from Kiev that's going to try to undo what he's achieved already. Or maybe his goal is to create a land bridge to Crimea. Or maybe he's got something longer term that could happen of trying to take even more territory in Ukraine. The Ukrainian military is not very strong. It's stronger than it was maybe a few months ago. But, you know, it's really no match for the full force of the Russian military if he decides he wants more. But he enjoys being unpredictable and deceptive, and so it's really hard to know what his endgame might be.
Well, at the same time, how much, if we can put a a figure on this, and I don't know that we can. How much is he emboldened in this, in these tactics, by the fact that the United States has determined, and NATO has determined, it will not intervene militarily in this situation? We are sending weapons and training and help to Ukraine, but this seems almost like a toe up to the line dare. Vladimir Putin seeing how far west he can push because he knows that that NATO won't be on the other end of that frontier.
But that's been true since the spring. And so there's nothing new that has happened. The new things that have happened are the fact that the sanctions are in place and maybe getting stronger and are having a huge impact on some sectors of the Russian economy, including the oil sector, which is really hurting because of the sanctions concerning Western help for Arctic oil development in particular, and also for the financing that now the oil companies can't get for further development from Western banks, and also the fact that the Ukrainian population has made it clear that they are interested in being part of Europe. And so it's really these negative pushes that are motivating Putin at the current time, not any change that's happened in what the U.S. or NATO is doing. Ukraine is not a NATO member. There was never any chance that NATO would right. help Ukraine against Russia.
So if there's no change in that situation, before we let you go, Kimberly Martin, is there a change in what the American or Western response has to be? Or do you kind of play rope-a-dope and say this is just another set of tactical moves by our KGB friend Vladimir Putin and not think that it amounts to much strategically?
Well, Putin is digging himself in further. And the one thing to keep in mind is that there is a law, a bill pending in the U.S. Congress that if it were brought to the floor would almost certainly be voted for by a majority of Congress and the Senate that would make the sanctions against Russia a standing law rather than just an executive order. Right now, the sanctions are an executive order that can be lifted at any time. If Putin keeps on pushing, most likely that bill will be made into law, and that means that the permanent level of economic disruption between Russia and the United States and probably Russia and Europe would become much stronger and much more harmful to Russia.
It seems also that the new Republican Congress, which comes in January, would be much more likely to vote to actually arm Ukraine, send lethal aid and weapons.
I hope that doesn't happen, because the Ukrainian military at this point is really not a very heavily professionalized force. There are all kinds of independent militias fighting alongside the forces coming from Kyiv. The government still has a great deal of corruption in it, yeah. And there is still a lot of Russian penetration of those Ukrainian forces. So I think it would be a big mistake to give actual military assistance that would involve U.S. weapons on the ground in Ukraine.
A lot of Republicans in Congress disagree. Kimberly Martin, professor of political science at Barnard College and Columbia University, our Putin expert. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.